friends, today we're going to read from the Gospel of Luke, which is the third gospel in the New Testament. I invite each of us to prepare our hearts and minds and hear and receive God's word with a few minutes of silence followed by a prayer of illumination. Open our eyes, Lord, with the gift of your revelation. Our eyes are kept from recognizing you. Appear before us, suddenly, unexpected, in all your glory, so that we too may proclaim to a world in despair that we have seen the risen Lord. Amen. Our scripture lesson today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their face downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked, "Are you the only one visiting from Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe that all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearing evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two that told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I was reading a book recently, Holy Embry, by Barbara Brown Taylor, and she made the comment that Jesus was the first undercover boss. That made me start to think about when and how was Jesus the first undercover boss. I immediately thought of the story of the road to Emmaus after Jesus' resurrection. Before we dive into the story, let's look at what we know about the undercover boss. Undercover Boss is a series on TV where the CEO of a company will change their appearance and go undercover at their various locations to see how a company really operates. Many of you have worked in corporate America will appreciate this. Employees are always saying the home office doesn't know what really is going on in the field. So as the CEO travels around the country on the pretense of being on a reality TV show to see if they are worthy of owning their own franchise of the business, the CEOs are often surprised by what they see in the field. Either employees following the rules, being creative, or those that have a total disregard for the mission and rules of the company. The CEO usually takes a break with the employees, and the employee tells them about their life. Usually there is some struggle the employee shares, such as a sick parent, need for a car, a desire to go to school, or a hardship. Once the CEO has traveled around the country, they then invite the employees to meet with them and share what they have learned about the company and how they will be implementing changes to what they have seen. But the coolest part of the show is the CEO helps these employees have a better life by providing funds to pay off debt, maybe money to go on a long vacation, or helping to create a career path for the employee or money for them to go back to school. The appreciation these employees see and the connection that is made after working alongside each other is amazing. In full disclosure, I did Google this to see if others had written a sermon on Jesus and the first undercover boss. I invite you to look out there and see what else is available after you hear the sermon today. There are many references, but I did ever start writing this from the heart and then seek counsel from others who had written before. So much like undercover boss, God sent his son to the earth to investigate what was happening on earth and to live among us. The story started with two men walking toward Emmaus when Jesus appeared. The scripture does not indicate they introduced themselves to each other. They just started talking as they walked toward a common point. The two gentlemen were apostles who had known Jesus for 3 years prior to meeting him on the road. Whereas an undercover boss, they may have seen a picture of the CEO, but they may never have met him in person. I struggle with this. How did they not recognize Jesus? But as we recall, Mary Magdalene did not recognize Jesus in the garden either. In Richard Rohr's book, The Universal Christ, he suggests that Jesus had started the transformation to Jesus Christ, and this is why his appearance differs from his pre-deathly earthly form. So back to the walk along the road. The apostles begin to tell the story, since maybe the stranger had not heard, since there was not newspapers, Facebook, or the internet. The men felt compelled to share the story of what had happened in Jerusalem. They said, "The things that have happened to Jesus the Nazarene, he was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in work and word, blessed by both God and all the people. Then our high priest and leaders betrayed him, got him sentenced to death, and crucified him. And we all had our hopes up that he was the one about to deliver Israel." Jesus listened intently to the story, and then he shares with them the story had been told by the prophets, and they shared what would happen to Jesus. In a sermon by Michael McDonald titled "The Fulfillment," the following verses are shared that tie the writings of the prophets from years before. In Luke, we see Jesus, "Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer and all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and the other prophets, explaining from all the scripture the things concerning himself." The fulfillment of the prophecy is one of the things that makes the Bible unlike anything else. Here are a few verses that point to the death and the resurrection of Jesus. This is what those men were living in the moment, the prophecy that God would send his son to be our Savior, and through Christ we would come to the Father. In Psalms 22:16, a millennium before Jesus, "For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. They foretold his crucifixion." In Isaiah 53:4-5, over 700 years before Jesus, "Surely we have borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace." In Matthew, we read in chapter 12, verse 40, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." When considering all that the Bible entails, one is left dumbfounded and in awe of the fact that through its complex and rich, it has a very simple universal message. God is love. The God who made everything and could be anything chose to be love. In 1 John 4-9, God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. The well-thought-out plan of God quickly shows me two simple truths. Jesus was and will always be in control of every situation. Jesus chose with everything in him to give his life as a ransom for many. God didn't have to do anything for us, but he wanted to because he is love. When someone says God loves you, it can be overlooked and heard as just a nice thing to say. But the reality is that our scripture screams the anthems over your life. It is true, and it will always remain true, because God is love. What do we do with all of this love? We simply receive it and turn it back to God in the form of worship, taking time to thank him for all he has done and serving him in all that we do. This is one more thing God wants us to do with his love. Pay it forward. And 1 John 4:11 and 12 goes on to say, "Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us." The resounding theme of love as Jesus was serving as the undercover boss to show the way and how it's following with the how it fit in with the prophet's writings. The reveal comes as Jesus sits down with the men and breaks the bread. Their eyes are open to see that they have been traveling with Jesus. This is very much like the reveal on Undercover Boss, where the CEO takes off his disguise and they see him for who that he really is. The eyes of these two disciples are opened, and as they recognize and realize who Jesus is, he disappears. Do you sometimes feel that Jesus is not walking beside you in your life, but then he appears? Katrina shared one of her favorite stories over the last few months about the drowning man, and I'll share it with you now. A fellow was stuck on a rooftop in a flood. He was praying to God for help. Soon, a man in a rowboat came by, and the fellow shouted to the man on the rooftop, "Jump in! I can save you!" The stranded fellow shouted back, "No! It's okay! I'm praying to God, and he's going to save me!" So the rowboat went on. Then a motorboat came by. The fellow in the motorboat shouted, "Jump in! I can save you!" To this, the stranded man said, "No thanks. I'm praying to God, and he's going to save me. I have faith." So the motorboat went on. Then a helicopter came by, and the pilot shouted, "Grab this rope, and I'll lift you to safety." To the stranded man again replied, "No thanks. I'm praying to God, and he's going to save me. I have faith." So the helicopter reluctantly flew away. Soon the water rose above the rooftop, and the man drowned. He went to heaven. He finally got his chance to discuss the whole situation with God, at what point he exclaimed, "I had faith in you, but you didn't save me. You let me down. I don't understand why." To this, God replied, "I sent you a rowboat, a motorboat, and a helicopter. What more did you expect?" I had thought of this story many times, and even more so as I started this sermon. Are we not open to seeing Jesus and letting him into our lives? Has he appeared when we have asked for answers, but would we not recognize him like the disciples did not recognize Jesus on the road to Emmaus? Just like the employees did not recognize their boss, we often do not recognize Jesus present in our lives as he guides us to give us wisdom and courage to face each day with new challenges. I would like to think Jesus is like the CEO at the end of the show. He is providing guidance and second chances to make our lives better. If we choose the correct path and listen to him, just like the men on the road, we have to open our lives and our hearts to see what is in front of us so we can follow Jesus. The other important thing the men on the road did was share what they had learned with others. Each of us are called to be disciples and share the word of Jesus through deed and action. In this time and of the pandemic, we have to socially distance, but how can we share the word? Can you share Celebration's Facebook page? Can you contribute to the Anchor storage container outside? Can you send a card, text, or call someone living alone just to say hello? Each of us have the power to open our hearts and take that moment in time to see Jesus and share his love with others. God, thank you that you sent Jesus to walk among us. Thanks that even though we fail to recognize him, he died and rose again to save us from your judgment. Please forgive our sins and help us to live trusting in Jesus' authority.